Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And it is beautiful, beautiful spring weather out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so I say we just go home now.
I know. I've finally gotten used to the time change after having been in Malaysia scuba diving.
You know, you're just going to keep rubbing that in weekend.
I know. I did have some interesting experiences. I wanted to get photographs taken while scuba diving corrected so they would look good. So the question is, how can you color correct these diving shots? And it's actually a little tricky because when you get down to about 20 meters, most of the red color is filtered out. So if you look at the three channels, red, blue, and
green.
Thank you very much. The red is just about gone.
Uh-huh.
And the other two channels are pretty good. But if you try to do an enhancement channel by channel in the three different colors, and then you try to enhance the red channel, which virtually has nothing in it, you just get a lot of noise and saturated looks. And so there is kind of a trick that's interesting. What they do, they've got, cross-channel transfer in Photoshop, and you can take, say, the blue channel and transfer the histogram to the red channel. And then you can simply adjust the redness of that now new channel, which has been copied from the other ones, and you can actually get a pretty nice color correction out of the thing.
Huh.
It's kind of an interesting technique. Playing around with it. You know, of course, the easiest way to get the red in the picture is just to have flash instead of using natural light. And then you've got all the colors that you need when you're down at that depth.
Obviously, you have a special camera for this mission, or
no,
do you have a...
I don't have one yet, but there were people who do have them.
They were
sending pictures.
Ah.
And so I'm getting very close to getting an underwater camera. But, you know, the thing is, I really hate...
What that means, dear listener, is that Marianne is getting very close to winning camera for the...
You see, the thing is, I just have this trepidation. You know, you get this $500 digital camera, and then you put it in this plastic box, hoping that it doesn't leak. And then if it leaks, your camera's toast.
Yeah.
So, and while I was there, somebody did get water in their camera while I was down at Sipadan Island, and it's because they didn't grease the O-rings in the case. So you have to grease the O-rings in this underwater case, or you get some leakage. I don't know how I got on that.
I'm not sure how you got on that either.
Oh yeah, I was looking at the great weather outside, and it really was good.
Oh, that's it.
It's been an interesting week in technology. People are still buzzing about the big Instagram purchase for $1 billion, a company that was only started 18 months ago. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad for a company that's not even earned a single dollar.
It's a little scary, though, when you
think about it. Being sold for $1 billion. It looks kind of bubble-ish to me. It looks like is that a word?
It looks
a little dot-com-ish to me.
That's what I'm thinking.
Dot-com-ish.
Speculative.
Speculative. I'm going to discuss today the flashback Trojan. Right at the end of the show, we got to it, but I didn't get to the details of it. So I'll go back and do it. And Apple has released a fix finally to the flashback. The device of the week is the Fitbit. And I'll talk about that.
Okay.
And finally, the U.S. carriers are going to try to do something about blocking stolen phones from being handled. Of course, AT&T has a class action lawsuit against them because if an AT&T phone is stolen and you report it to them stolen, they don't care. And they just let the user come back in and sign up with them without any problem. And they take his money and they sell you a new phone.
And works for me.
And so there was a class action lawsuit against AT&T. So I think they're deciding that maybe they should block the stolen phones. The carriers are getting together. That ought to be coming out soon.
Yet another reason why I'm proud to be with AT&T.
I'll talk about how that. Oh, but I have an application here that compares all the carriers.
Oh, okay. And there's an app
for
that.
And so in real time, I'm going to, you know, go into this carrier compare, and I'm going to compare the three carriers as we sit in the
As we sit in the studio,
it's doing it right now, testing, and now we'll get those results. By the way, there was a big listing out of the top jobs for 2012,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to
radio host. No,
radio host wasn't there.
Okay,
radio host was not there. You know what the number one job was? Okay, I'll just give a precursor.
Tell me.
The number one job, software engineer.
No kidding.
Yeah, number one job. Then there's other things. That the FBI tracked down one of the anonymous hackers because he posted to the web a picture of his girlfriend scantily clad. And it was geo-targeted information.
Beautiful.
In the meta tags. The app of the week, Carrier Compare. And mm-hmm. By the way here, AT&T in this studio has fair service.
Let's see, does it?
Verizon yeah. has poor service.
Wow.
And Sprint has poor service. So AT&T turns out to be the number one carrier.
That's because we're in the lead line nerve center here.
It could mm-hmm. be. And of course, it was a very big mailbag again. And so now it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, yes. You have a letter from James Messick. Dear Batman and Robin.
What?
I wrote you a few weeks ago asking you of a method to organize and remove duplicate photos. I heard your last show in which you recommended Picasa. Now, I've used Picasa, and it is great for organizing photos, but maybe not so great for removing duplicates. Before your last show, I investigated a number of programs and found one that I can recommend, VisiPix version 1.3. And it's a free program available from visipix.info. Now, VisiPix allows you to specify one or more folders or disks and then search the specified range for duplicate images. And you can either set the filter up for loose, basic, or strict. I find that strict works best on similar photos. The beauty is it doesn't look for similar file names. It actually compares the photos themselves and locates identical photos based on the photo itself. The program takes takes a while to actually scan all the photos, but it's a very convenient way to look at large blocks of photos. And I tend to use strict. I found a usable method is to start with the folders which are most likely to be in order and remove duplicates. Afterwards, other groups of photos could be compared against the main group and the duplicates removed and the remaining photos merged in. Programs like WinDirectory Star is great for locating files of a particular type. The whole process takes a little bit of time, but I have reclaimed gigabytes of storage space on my photos. I highly recommend this program. I love the show and keep up the great work. Love always, James Messick. He loves the show.
Love always?
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Yeah, yeah. He's mm-hmm. from Kernersville, North Carolina.
That is in the triad down in the lovely Greensboro-Winston-Salem area.
That is VisiPix version 1.3 available from VisiPix.info. This is great when you can have the listeners provide actually fantastic content.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at this, and I have now got a new free program on my computer.
Wow. And this means less work for you.
Less work for me. Mm. So thank you, James. Great suggestion. We have an email from a disciple in Bethesda.
Why do I have a funny feeling it's going to be one of those Saturdays?
Dr. Schertz, I hope that your retirement is
a
long way away.
Oh, is okay.
Because I have so many IT issues in my life, and your consistency and competency beats every help desk I've ever talked to.
How much did you pay this guy?
I don't know. No, it's a woman,
oh,
I think.
Girl.
A girl, mm. yeah.
Woman.
I think it is. Well, no, I can't tell. You're a disciple in Bethesda. I don't know who the disciple is.
Life is abundantly bathed in IT issues.
Yes.
Your level of competence.
You know,
and
it's really like poetry, don't you think?
It's almost as if you wrote it. Never happen.
It's almost like poetry. Normally, uh-huh. okay. Now here's the question. Let's get to the actual issue of the email
sure.
now. Normally, I read my email via an attachment named Outlook Direct, which is actually just the Outlook email client. But sometimes I have to go to the client side and I read my mail via the web access into Outlook. The problem today, when I accessed my email via Outlook Web Access, I found three new emails that came in earlier the day. And then when I went home to check them on my Outlook client, which was installed on my laptop, I couldn't see the three emails. And I don't understand why. Someone at the office told me I needed to restart my laptop, and they'd show up. I did it, and the three emails never got delivered. I'd like to figure out how to stop that going forward. Well, let me just, and she's got another question, but let me just stop here and answer this question. Well, Outlook does have two interfaces. You've got the web interface, which actually looks directly at the emails on the server. Web access, that's what I use most of the time because it's a little snappier than using the full-blown Outlook interface. And then you've got the Outlook client that actually downloads the emails to your computer. Now, the Outlook client has to synchronize with the mail server. And so the Outlook client is not always synchronized, so you have to hit synchronize. Now, it turns out if you close the Outlook client and then open it again, it should synchronize on opening if it's been set up that way. Now, when you synchronize the emails and download them to your client, you could set up your client to either delete the emails on the server or leave them there. So you've got to look at the configuration whether your client is deleting the emails or not when you set this up. Now, in your case, you saw the emails using the web interface. When you went to your Outlook client, you didn't see them. I'm suggesting that your client simply didn't synchronize with the servers because they would be there unless you had inadvertently deleted them. Now, Disciple in Bethesda had a second question.
Okay.
Another issue. I just created a survey for our client using SurveyMonkey. Now, this is real. This is real. SurveyMonkey, this is actually quite a legitimate. We use SurveyMonkey, too. And it's a very nice survey tool, free of charge, or you can get sort of the bronze or the gold or the platinum if you want to get rid of ads. Everything about it turned out okay, except when the survey clicks done, after they finished it, it then redirects to another URL, which is an advertisement. Our client said that the screen had to go. According to the support email provided by my help desk, the only way to get rid of it is to upgrade to a more expensive version of the plan.
Of course. You get a more expensive monkey.
But that you get rid of the ads. The boss says we don't want to spend money on that. Is there any workaround for it? I'd like to lose this last screen. Well, you are correct about SurveyMonkey. You have to be either a gold or a platinum member to be able to redirect the user to any URL you want upon exiting. If you are not a gold or a platinum member, they exit you to the URL of their choice, which provides some advertising, and that's how they actually pay for the SurveyMonkey. Now, I don't know an easy workaround to this because the SurveyMonkey is really a web interface that the user is looking at with his browser. You could configure the browser to block any redirects, and then it wouldn't go there. Mm-hmm. But that means you've got to go in and reconfigure every browser of all the people that are using SurveyMonkey. It's probably not practical. And so you really can't do that. The only other way to work around it would be to hack into SurveyMonkey and change their code, which I highly, highly do not recommend. So what I'm thinking is that if it's that important to your client, perhaps you should upgrade.
Upgrade your monkey.
Upgrade your monkey to gold or platinum. I think there's no other way around that.
So you use this at Stratford?
We use it for some. Yeah, so we did some NPS studies and some. It's a very nice tool. Easily used. You can use SurveyMonkey for class surveys. It's used a lot.
So what color is your monkey?
No, you can have really any color you want, actually.
Well, I mean gold or black. Never mind. Forget it.
Oh, I use the free.
So you deal with the crap at the end of it.
I deal with the free monkey and I don't mind that redirect at the end. We got an email from Robert Tyler.
Frequent listener,
dear Dr. Schertz.
And a lawman.
I don't get a chance to listen to Tech Talk on the radio due to the nature of my work. But I do look forward to getting iTunes every week, but I haven't seen it on iTunes for a few weeks now. What's up, Robert Tyler?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Robert, all the shows are posted now. I got so many emails like this last week. I'm just reading one as a sample case.
You go away, and I have to put these shows. I slave over a hot microphone, and you don't bother to post them.
I don't
to the
bother
web.
To post yeah. them. I know it is a bit irresponsible.
It
but
is
listen,
terribly irresponsible.
But when I'm sitting there diving at Sepadon Island, I don't have internet. I've
Here
got
we go
nothing.
Again.
I don't have anything, and I can't post them from underwater.
All the rest of us have to do our regular Joe jobs. You're off diving.
I got an email from Eddie Quinlan. Thank you for posting the shows, Dr. Schertz.
Told you.
Your shows keep me awake while programming at work. I'm getting a fix as I type this.
Why, they have a different effect on
me. That's right. Keep up the good work, and thanks for responding. Sincerely, Eddie Quinlan, GIS coordinator, cartographer at Okaloosa County Property Appraiser. So this is, we got people listening all over the country.
That's Florida, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think Okaloosa is Florida. And Robert Tyler's in Texas.
And so the it's really nice to have people listening to the show. And I got so many comments about that because I actually, when I was gone, I didn't post the shows for 3-4 weeks, and I was getting irate.
I was here, bleary-eyed, working on those shows.
I know,
and that's what I get.
We did get a Facebook posting from Sig Crossland. Nice job, Jim. Like your productions. Better than the live shows. Is this show part of Tech Talk, the best of Tech Talk, or is the doc there today? Your productions have gotten so good lately that it's hard to tell. Isn't that
it's,
okay? There's
you
a
know,
little
it's,
positive
it's nice
feedback for
that
you.
Somebody appreciates me.
That's
Doc.
Right. That's a that was a feedback
Thank
on
you,
the
Sig.
on the Facebook page. And I'm monitoring the Facebook page, by the way.
Right.
Go to Facebook.com/TechTalkOnline. I'm monitoring it for comments as we speak. And thank you so much, Sig, for giving Jim a little positive feedback.
A little positive
after I'd failed to post his shows. In a timely way.
All I get is, I've been off diving. I've been halfway around the country. It's like, no, thank you for keeping this thing going while I'm gone.
But
no,
yes.
Never. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, our chance to get out of bed early on Saturday morning, your chance to catch up on technology. On Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Be right back after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they are retrained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to be talking about Kevin Systrom. Kevin Systrom is CEO and co-founder of Instagram, the photo sharing application that was just purchased by Facebook for $1 billion after having not even earned one penny. Single penny. Kevin Systrom was born in 1984 in Holliston, Massachusetts, a town 20 miles west of Boston. He got his first computer at 12 years old, and his interest in computer was triggered by this video game called Doom, Doom 2. He was a huge Doom 2 fan. He could even edit the levels. He credits Doom 2 with everything. Now, Doom, of course, is this first part, shooter game, first-person shooter game where you go around with this gun blowing up people, and if you don't blow them up soon,
They blow you up,
okay. And there's blood and gore everywhere.
It's great.
But it was one of the first 3D games where you could actually maneuver in a 3D space, and he became fascinated with computers because of that. And many people did get their initial exposure to computer gaming and video gaming with Doom. It was a huge success, and you could get it free. I mean, Doom was not really, there was no price for it. His first programming languages that he learned while he was still in high school were Q Basic and Visual Basic. He graduated from Middlesex School, which was a private school in Concord, Massachusetts, in 2002. When he went to Middlesex High School, he actually wanted to take more computer programming classes, so he convinced the administrators of the high school to let him skip biology so he could take more computer classes. And for some reason, they allowed him to skip biology. Now, after high school, after he'd lived in the East his whole life with the snow and the dreary winters, his parents took him on a nice long summer vacation to California where he could enjoy the sun and all the California girls. And after spending 6 weeks in California, he told his parents that he had no intention of going to college on the East Coast. He was going to go to college on the West Coast.
Dude.
Yeah. So he applied to Stanford to be accepted into their computer science program at Stanford. And they reviewed his transcript, and they said, Kevin, where's your biology class?
Dog ate it.
Kevin, we need biology here. That's one of the prerequisites here for you to get into the program. And so Kevin went and talked to them. Kevin's quite a smooth talker, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to go to computer programming. This is all inanimate objects. I don't really think I need biology. And so they said, all right, we'll make an exception. And they accepted him without biology.
At Stanford.
Kevin proudly claims that he has now made all this money after having never taken a single biology class.
Smooth talker, that equates to BS artist, doesn't it?
That does. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But to sell a company that makes no money for $1 billion, duh, is a certain art form.
There is an art form, or there is an con art form.
Now, he initially focused on computer programming. He took his first programming class, which was this intensive, they call it hardcore programming, where you get a year's worth of programming in just one term. He said he did okay in the class, but he didn't get that great of a grade in computer programming. So about midstream in his Stanford program, he decided to switch more into technology management. And he ultimately then did less computer programming and more of the management stuff. While he was going to school at Stanford, he got a three-month internship at Odeo. Odeo, of course, is the company which spawned Twitter. So this is when he got his first sense of like startup fever. And I tell you how he got that job at Odeo. He was actually on a study abroad term in Florence, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in his room, and it was winter time actually, and he said it was kind of cold outside. I didn't think it was that cold in Florence.
In Florence, Italy?
In the winter. But, he said it was chilly.
I know it snowed in Rome this winter.
So he went outside, and there was a library next door. So he sat down on the grass on the library using bootleg Wi-Fi to get on the Internet. And then he noticed that Odeo had been featured on the New York Times website. So then he said, okay, maybe I could go to Odeo and work there, but he didn't have any contact information. So then he used the Whois database, gives the contact information for people who have set up domain names. So he did a Whois on Odeo, and it gave all the contact information who set it up. And the person that set it up, of course, was the CEO of Odeo. So then he had his email address. So he emailed him, and he said, I'd like to work for you for the summer. And he emailed him a few times, and finally he got the thing worked up, and he was able to go there to Odeo, and he got his three months. He's a good talker, and so
yeah.
So he got in there. He was offered a job at Facebook while he was in school. Now this was in 2005, but he turned it down to finish school. This was when Facebook was just beginning to get high valuations.
Uh-oh.
And we've got a visitor here. We'll get to this as soon as we get through the profiles.
Yeah,
in
okay.
IT.
You sit there quietly, David. We'll finish profiles.
And
in
so
IT.
he went there, and he was at Facebook, and he turned this job at Facebook down. And he said, I could have made a mistake there, because when Facebook's worth this, $100 billion or more, it turns out that he thought he might have lost a lot of money, but it turned out all right for him. He was actually in the Stanford's Mayfield Fellows Program for Future Entrepreneurs. Finally, Kevin graduated from Stanford in 2006 with a bachelor's degree in management, science, and engineering. Now, he was hired as an associate manager at Google after graduation. Now, he was an associate marketing manager. You see, he wasn't good in technology, and he just had this business degree. And so he worked at Google a couple of years, first on Gmail, then on Docs, then on the Reader. During his second year, he worked on corporate development. This is the company that this is the team that buys companies for Google. Then he left Google because he got fed up with not being able to work on development. And, of course, why couldn't he work on development? He didn't take programming.
I was going to say biology. No,
he, no, no. He didn't. No. He didn't focus on his programming while he was in school. So then he got a job at NextStop, which was started by some Googlers, and he decided to hone his programming skills. He started there as a marketing guy and ended up as a tech guy. So then he actually did learn some serious programming. In 2009, he decided to launch his first company, Bourbon.com.
Hmm.
Now, this is BURBN.com.
Why did he leave out the O?
I don't know. And this Bourbon.com was a competitor to Foursquare. It's one of these check-ins where you can sort of check in, say, I'm here. But part of this check-in, which Foursquare didn't have, you could upload photos. So they started this Bourbon, and then he managed, without getting any money, to talk to a few of the VCs out there in California, and he raised $500,000 just by jawboning these guys. And then he decided, I better get a co-founder that knows more technology than me. So he met one of his friends there. He met somebody coming out of Stanford. This guy followed him a couple of years, Mike Krieger. And Mike's from Brazil. And so he brought Mike in as a co-founder. And Mike is sort of the technical heart of this Bourbon. Well, they worked on Bourbon, this check-in software, for about 7 months. And they were going nowhere. And then somebody said, why don't we just focus on this photo piece that we have in there? So they decided, okay, let's just concentrate on photos. And they were kind of redirecting themselves. So while he was on vacation in Mexico with his girlfriend... There's always the girlfriend in these things.
Well, not necessarily, because he's a tech guy.
Yeah, he was down there with his girlfriend, and she was just fed up that her cell phone, would always take these crappy pictures, or these flat pictures. The flash didn't look good. Crappy's like too technical of a word here, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
These pictures that really didn't look professional. So she said, I wish I had some way I could make these pictures really look elegant and professional. So he got the idea to create filters where you take these pictures with your cell phone and then you'd apply these pre-made filters and they would look like professional photos with all kinds of dynamic range and tints and everything else. So they started making this this application with the filters built in, and their effort then switched into what became Instagram. And initially it was just a photo filtering application, and then they added on the ability to share it through Facebook or share it through Twitter or send it through an email. So then it became a photo enhancing program that you could share everything. The other thing that they did that was kind of clever is that they accelerated the upload speed. So while you were trying to pick the filter and adjust the picture, it would upload it to the servers. So after they did all of this, he mailed to a few of his friends, and they loved it, a few of his tech buddies. Then the one guy, Jack Dorsey, who was founder of Twitter at Odeo, you know, where he worked, Jack Dorsey looked at it, and he tweeted, "This is a fantastic application." He loved it, and then all of a sudden, everybody was lining up to get it. In just 8 weeks, it took only 8 weeks to actually build Instagram, the programming. It racked up 25,000 users in 24 hours, 200,000 users in the first week, and 1 million in less than 3 months. By February 2011, Instagram had 1.75 million users posting 290,000 photos a day, and they were managed to raise $7 million from Benchmark. A week later, Mark Zuckerberg came in and bought them for $1 billion. Systrom has 40% share after, you know, the VCs and his other partners. So he netted $400 million for 18 months of development work on Instagram.
Is this a good move by Facebook to spend all that money, do you think? Or is it just
too early
to tell?
It's all about the users. See, mm-hmm. as soon as Facebook bought them, they went from 20 million to 30 million users. And I think Facebook wants to control the whole photo side of the business. So Facebook is so overvalued. I mean, to Mark Zuckerberg, $1 billion, like play money. Look mm-hmm. at it, you know, they're gonna. So it could be worth it because they didn't want Google to get it, but. I seriously doubt that it's worth $1 billion. I wouldn't pay for it. So there you go. All you want to know about Kevin Systrom, the co-founder of Instagram, an instant millionaire.
Okay. Now we got to introduce this guy properly.
Yes.
Daddy Donstadt. Walk in.
Hi, folks. This is David Burke.
Donstadt.
Yeah.
All right. There he is.
Hi. There we go.
Hey, Doc. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back from your world travels. is this Instagram application something I can get off of iTunes?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You
really?
Can.
Okay.
I've got it
I'm
right
gonna
here.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it.
Here's this Instagram right here.
Oh, that's sweet.
Okay. So
you download this thing right. It's an application. Download it in iTunes. They've got only the iPhone application now. The Android is coming out soon. The Android application.
So I only walked in here at the last third of your diatribe about the Instagram, but a very detailed one.
Yes. Yeah,
so everything you.
You know, everything you never wanted.
I need to shave now. Again. I waited so long to get through this.
Anyway. I made a sandwich.
That was very nice. Mm. But can I take existing pictures and Instagram them and
yes,
resend them
can.
To me?
Yes, you can. You just take them out of your photo stream.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you can Instagram them. You can filter them.
Love.
And it puts these little ragged edges on them. You can email them to people.
Does that work with videos or just instant pictures or just pictures still?
It's
pictures?
Just pictures. I'm certain okay. videos they'll add to it. Now the amazing thing is. Since there are 30 million people around the world, what they discovered was, mm-hmm. you share these things and you can follow people and follow their pictures, and so people were communicating who didn't speak the same language. They were communicating through pictures.
Right.
So this became an instant global success. So
hence Instagram.
Wow. Hey.
And so what's happening? People are like sharing Instagrams at say car shows. So somebody that's at the car show, people will follow that person, and they can see pictures of the latest cars.
Wow.
And so it's actually this become is... a real social phenomenon.
Doc, can I just interrupt you for
yes.
a second here
yeah.
and just say, you know, the John Walsh look that you've been pulling off here lately, the leather jacket at all times, the black leather jacket, that's your new persona.
See,
now,
he
isn't it?
He landed right. the sop with Camel out on Idaho Avenue, so.
No, that looks good, man.
I didn't even have a chance to shave
no.
this morning.
No,
but I thought that would go with the leather
you're
jacket.
You're yeah. manning up all right, man. You're
man
really
up.
Manning up.
Well,
you
listen,
really are.
Listen, after after diving at Sipitan Island,
here we go.
Back in Malaysia, you
this
know.
This is called professional name dropping.
I know. But see, listen, I had to do vacation. This because the only divers there are these German divers.
So Buffy, those
that
Germans
are just,
run our way.
They're taking over the water.
That's
okay,
right.
Doc, I'm on a short leash here.
Okay.
This is what I came
There's
down.
A reason for this?
There's a reason I came
okay.
down
Okay, would you get to it then?
You know, I got a free iPad 1. I gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
I got a free iPad 2. I gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, I'm tempted to actually buy the iPad 3
mm-hmm.
with the quote-unquote HD screen. But now I'm hearing a couple of negatives.
Okay.
The data charges, people are just going crazy with the data charges. And also, this thing gets really, really hot temperature-wise.
It does get hot.
So I'm thinking maybe I need to go back to the 2 and leave the 3 alone because I'm a little worried about it.
I mean, the imaging in this Retina display is absolutely fantastic, but it is a high resolution display.
And if you're downloading
games and things like that,
and
movies that are trying to match that resolution, it drives your data rate way up.
You see, for you guys who understand the data rate problem, like if you
what
go,
are you looking at me for?
Oh. I figured the doc gave you
see
freebies.
That guy. See,
and
the,
here's
and,
Mr. Data
and
right
the,
here.
Baron Von
and
shirts
the,
over there.
And the heat,
yeah, the heat.
Is a problem
so
on the iPad.
My enthusiasm's been quenched, as you might say.
It sounds that way.
See,
nice
the,
word.
You see, the good news is when the iPad 3 came out, the iPad 2 went down in value.
That's
in
what
price.
I'm talking
there
about.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
And so, if you don't want the latest and greatest features, which I don't think you do.
I don't think I do.
Your best value is always to get one model obsolete.
It's like those
last year's model.
It's like those iPhone 4s, not the 4S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, $35 now?
Right.
I mean,
exactly. You know how much an iPhone 3 is? 1 cent. You can go get an iPhone 3 for 1 cent.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because I'm stopping the iPhone game. I'm done.
4S
is fine. 5, come on, please stop it.
Now, you know what they're doing with the 5, they're going to have a bigger screen.
Yeah. But,
you know why?
Why?
So they can have a bigger battery. That's the only reason they're going to a bigger screen to get a bigger battery.
And that's the wrap on these iPhones.
And the reason they have to have a bigger battery is because they're going to that fourth generation network, which is like a power hog.
Oh, God.
And in order to go with the fourth gen network, they have to have a bigger battery. But that just uses more data.
Yeah, but I'm grandfathered on the data plan with my carrier.
I've got the all-you-can-drink plan.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I do too, but have you ever checked how much you drink?
No, I have not.
I have all-you-can-drink, but I hardly use anything.
Really?
Somebody's looking for somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody's pinging. I think that's probably...
Who's pinging?
It's probably emails.
Marianne,
emails are
Captain
flying.
Scherzer.
Oh, yeah, Marianne's telling me that she wanted another iPad. I'm waiting to win the iPad 3, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, when you do, let me know.
I will.
Your wife has the amazing luck.
She wins everything. She's got the free stuff Kvorka going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her prize closet is bigger than Let's Make a Deal. I mean, there's door four with her.
That is the truth.
Well, Doc, it's good to have you back.
Do you have an iMac? Do you have an iMac? Or
no, I don't.
You don't. So you don't have to worry about the flashback Trojan.
No, not the flash. Oh, nice segue.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that's what we'll be talking about later.
Yeah. See, he is the king of the blend.
This is a blend. To push you out the door.
I'm gone.
It's kind of a blending in.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it, Dave.
You're done.
Turn off his mic.
Go back to the third floor.
Hey, Doc, it's been a gas. Welcome back.
Okay, thanks a lot. Nice seeing you.
David Bird.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think it's time for us to take a break here. This is Tech Talk Radio, and coming up is your chance to show us how long you can retain information by playing the pop quiz here on Tech Talk Radio on WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT HD2 Manassas, WTOP HD2 Washington. Yeah, that's where we are. Be right back. Hang on.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, five of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
This is not only a radio show, but it's also a classroom
of the airways.
And you know, when there's a class, there must be a test.
A quiz.
In this case, it will be a pop quiz, because I didn't really announce it at the beginning of the show. But those of you who are
But it's
clever,
understood that it's going to happen, because every week it
so,
happens.
But only the clever listeners who can remember the previous week's tradition will know it. So we were talking about earlier in the show, of course, the man, the multimillionaire who is behind Instagram, Kevin Systrom. He, of course, developed this photo-sharing program that Facebook bought for $1 billion. What was the name of the company that morphed into Instagram that was started by Kevin Systrom?
Okay. If you know the answer to that question, you need to call us right now. It's the only way. Well, it's not the only way, but it's usually the way people do get the it to us. 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. But there are other ways you can reach us, Dr. Schertz.
Of course, you can log on to Skype, go to Tech Talk Radio 1, and call that account, and that will be forwarded directly to the studio, free of charge. And you can call that from anywhere in the world, including Sipadan Island in Malaysia.
Oh, for God's sake.
The flashback Trojan is in the news.
Mm-hmm.
The flashback Trojan, of course, it was in the news last week when they said that it had infected 600,000 Macintosh machines. The Russian antivirus firm Kaspersky confirmed these findings that more than 600 computers running Mac OS X, were infected with the flashback botnet. Now, the hijacked Macs are being used for what's called click fraud, where they create web traffic from the infected machines to boost the revenue from pay-per-click and pay-per-impression advertisements. So it's a good way to, you know, to boost advertisements. There's no evidence yet that they've been used for credit card fraud, but like any Trojan, the malware has a backdoor on the user's computer and can allow new software updates to be downloaded. Flashback has been using an unpatched vulnerability in Java, and it can invisibly infect Apple users through the so-called drive-by downloads. They just go to a website, and using this Java defect, they can basically download the file to your machine without you doing anything. Now, for years, security researchers have warned Apple machines are no safer than Windows machines, despite the company's assurances to the contrary. Apple had been warned to release an update to this Java and to this Java vulnerability, and they had been deficient or in doing so. Finally, after this flashback Trojan was released and got so much headwind, Apple released an update for Java on Macintosh computers running Mac OS X, Snow 10.6, which is Snow Leopard, and 10.7 Lion, which it says will get rid of the flashback malware that's infected these machines. The tool is available through the company's built-in software update system. Symantec reports that the number of infections have fallen since that fix was released. On April 6th, it was down to 380,000. On April 10th, it was down to 270,000. So it's a dramatic drop-off, which is suggesting that Mac owners are downloading that fix. So congratulations to the Mac owners, and I would suggest that Apple pay more attention to these security vulnerabilities.
Why, it appears we've stumped everybody that's called this morning because we don't have a winner yet. Doc, why don't you ask the question one more time?
Remember we talked about the gentleman who started Instagram.
Kevin Systrom.
What was the name of the company that he started right after he left his job at Next Stop?
And it turned into Instagram.
And that particular company turned into Instagram.
Okay. Again, the number to call slowly, 877-936-9333, 877-936-9333, 877-936-9333. We're going to take a short break. We'll come right back here on Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Tech Talk continues after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford
University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology.
We have unfinished business.
We've got unfinished business. Okay. Why don't you take care of that unfinished business?
Well, you're going to help me here. We're going to go to the phones right now. We're going to go to line number 27. Here is Gregory, who is calling us from Temple Hills, Maryland. Gregory, so glad you have short-term memory. Deal with here. Dr. Schertz asked the question.
Yes, earlier in the show we talked about Kevin Systrom, of course the co-founder of Instagram. What was the name of the company that he originally started that morphed into Instagram?
The name of the company was Bourbon.
That is correct. And that is BURBN.com.
You are a big winner.
You're a big winner.
And so Doc, tell him what he's won.
Yeah, you win two tickets to Fine Dining, to the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room at either Woodbridge or at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. And I think we also have the dining room open in Richmond, Virginia, if you want to go down there. Now, what we stay on the line and give Andrew your name and address as well as your email address. They've requested email address
now. Oh, have they really?
So they can email out the tickets to them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And see, Gregor, what that means is that they're too cheap at Stratford to pay for a 45-cent postage.
No. It means that we want to get it there faster.
Oh,
Snail mail is simply too slow.
I got it.
It's response time to our customers, Jim.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with the 35 cents postage.
Gregory, yours is a new name on my screen here. Have you been listening to us for long?
Yes, I have.
You have? Great.
4 or 5 years now.
Well, I'm glad we haven't chased you away yet.
Okay.
Yet, being the operative word.
Thanks all right, for calling. Hang on. Thanks for listening.
Professor Andrew Mitchell in the research department will take over from here. All right, Doc, what do you got now?
Device of the week is the Fitbit. Now, this is a small device that actually, it's about an inch and a half. You can see it there. I've got a picture of it there, Jim. But, of course, this picture doesn't work on radio too well.
I'm going to hold it up to the microphone
Hold it up to the...
Can you see that?
Hold it up to the Garden Channel TV.
You didn't get the memo. We're off the Garden Channel.
Okay, yeah. It's a small device that just clips over your belt. It's about half an inch wide and about 2 inches long, and it clips over your belt, and it tracks your movement. And it tracks whether you go up, down steps, how many steps you're making. And it then tracks your activity. And I'll tell you, a lot of people at Stratford are using it because the more active you are, there's this flower on the side, and the flower starts growing and blooming. And so people look at their Fitbit, and when a leaf drops off, they say, uh-oh, I got to get going. And then they'll go up and down the stairs. And so it sort of keeps them exercising all day just by in order to keep their calorie usage high enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Fitbit actually has a Wi-Fi connection that will connect to your laptop, and it will track all your data, how many calories you've burned. And in addition to this, there's a Fitbit also sells a scale that has a Wi-Fi link on it, and you can get on the scale, and it will store your weight and through the Wi-Fi network on your basic system. So it's actually quite nice. Fitbit also has an application download for the iPhone. So this makes exercise fun.
Fun. Okay, great.
It makes it fun, and I mean, they got this one feature there where they measure sleep. You put it on your arm, and it tells you whether you were restless or not when you were sleeping. I don't need
something clipped to my arm to tell me that.
I don't really like that. Okay, the Fitbit Ultra device is $99.95, and the Fitbit Aria scale, the Wi-Fi scale, is $129. These are the devices of the week, and you can get those at Fitbit.com.
Okay.
Okay, U.S. carriers are finally going to set up a database for stolen phones.
Mm-hmm.
Verizon Wireless, Sprint, AT&T, and T-Mobile are joining forces with the FCC to work on curbing phone thefts using a central database that will store information about stolen phones, according to reports. The FCC chairman, along with law enforcement officers and representatives from the wireless industries, will announce this plan next Tuesday. Operators will disable and block further use of the device once it's reported stolen, according to the New York Times. Right now, it's so easy for thieves to steal a phone, sell it on the black market, and then the carriers just put them back online without any problem. I believe that the carriers are succumbing to some pressure from the FCC.
Well, we were talking off the air that AT&T didn't really used to care.
They didn't care because they sold the phone to the guy that lost it, and they got another customer.
Yeah.
when the person started to use it, because it was they had to use it on the AT&T network.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next 6 months, each of the four carriers are expected to put in place a program to disable phone numbers reported stolen. Within 18 months, the FCC plans to merge them all together in a central database, and that sharing of information about stolen phones will then allow people to block the use of phones, and it will eliminate the black market for phones in the U.S. Now, other countries in other parts have been doing this for a long time. The GSM Association has allowed operators to do that since 1996 in Europe. There's a central equipment identity registry in Europe which tracks these with IMEI numbers, and they've been doing that since 1996. That, by the way, is why you can buy phones on eBay from Europe, because they won't operate in Europe because they've been blocked. But they'll operate in the U.S. because the things aren't linked. So when you buy a phone on eBay, chances are it's stolen and it won't operate in Europe. And hopefully these global databases will link so it won't operate anywhere. Now, U.K. operators have been using an IMEI database to exchange stolen handsets since 2002. Operators in Chile, Costa Rica, France, Germany, Ghana, Hungary, Italy, Norway, Portugal, South Africa, Sweden, and Venezuela have been using databases as well. I wonder why the U.S. is so far behind. I think it's just
greedy. Dollars?
It's dollars, and I just think it's going after bad profits. Mm-hmm. They should have done this a long time ago, so congratulations to the carriers. They're finally getting on track with this. It'll be fully operational, unfortunately, in 18 months opposed to now.
Pull back the curtain here. You've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You want to just not take a break and just keep on going on?
Ah, we can do that.
Yeah, let's cover some stuff. Let's just do that.
Let's do the best job of 2012.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, radio personality.
No, software engineer. Okay. CareerCast, a site for job seekers, has listed the top 200 jobs of 212. Software engineer had the best overall score when you average work environment, income, stress level, physical demands, and hiring outlook. The site, which used Department of Labor statistics, pegged the average income of a software engineer at $88,000. That's why our most popular program, by the way, at Stratford, is a master's degree in software engineering. We've got probably most of our students are either from India or from Asia taking that program, and then they get excellent jobs in the U.S. when they go on OPT. The next job on the list was actuary, a job known for low stress levels, but it's lucrative compensation, yeah. $88,000. Now, what's the worst job?
Radio personality.
No, lumberjack.
Lumberjack. Well, it's very
lumberjack
close.
Lumberjack was judged to have high physical demands and stress, as well as a lousy hiring outlook. Because we have to conserve lumber now, so they don't want us to cut
lumber. And the possibility of a axe injury is quite high.
That's right. Now, other bad jobs turned out to be dairy farmer, enlisted military soldier,
sure,
and oil rig worker.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me just focus on the top, on the IT jobs that were listed.
Probably because that's your specialty.
That's my specialty. Yeah. So, of course, number one, software engineer. Number nine, computer system analyst. That would be $78,000 was the average mm-hmm. salary. Number 15, web developer. That would be $76,000, the average salary. Number 34, computer programmer, $71,000. And 37, tech writer, $63,000. So there were actually five IT jobs listed in this top 200. And I didn't really see radio.
Radio nothing.
Radio nothing anywhere mm-hmm. in that thing.
Yeah, well.
Okay, let me move on to this this girlfriend picture that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's... I was going
to
ask.
It seemed girlfriends seemed to have, there had to be a theme in this whole show for some reason.
Girlfriends.
Yeah, girlfriends. The mm-hmm. FBI has tracked a hacker using the picture of his girlfriend that was posted to the web. An alleged member of Anonymous has been tracked down after he posted a picture of his scantily clad girlfriend in an image bragging about his hacking exploits. Eugenio... Ocho.
Need some help with that?
Ocho, the third, from Texas. I could use some help with that, but I would say I pretty much hacked his name.
You hacked his name, but...
That's okay. Yeah. He is a hacker. From Texas has been charged with hacking into websites of at least four U.S. law enforcement agencies. Ocho is an alleged member of the cabin crew, and that would be cabin, CR3W, cabin crew, an offshoot of the hacktivist collective, Anonymous. The criminal complaint filed in connection with the case reveals that a picture of a young woman taken in an outer Melbourne suburb played a key role to the case. The image was taken with an iPhone and posted in an online location to law enforcement agencies. The photo was cropped from the neck down, and it had GPS coordinates. Those GPS coordinates led exactly to the apartment of the girlfriend, and through her, they located him.
Beautiful. That's great.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this hour went so fast.
It does.
I love being back in the saddle. Listen, we love your emails. Send us an email at techtalk@stratford.edu. Make certain to go to stratford.edu and check out the website, and go to Tech Talk Online and sign up for the podcast.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source. This paid commercial news may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting.